Deet. Thanks, worship team. Lucy, do you want to come on up? Lucy's going to read our scripture for the morning. How's kindergarten? Good. I love it. You ready?
Yeah.
Awesome.
For in him, every word of God promises is a yes. For this reason, it is through him that we say the amen to the glory of God. 2 Kings 1:20.
Good job. What else do you want to say?
I love you.
We love you too. Good night, everybody. I can't top that.
To class.
Go to class. All right, kids, you can go to your class. Thanks, Lucy. That was adorable. Everything from here on out is going to be way less adorable. Sorry. So you can feel free to go if you'd like. I love having the kids read that. Corinthians is tough to say for a lot of us. So anyways, if you're new here today, what we've been doing this last month is we've been looking at various worship songs that we've been singing a lot at MCC. And each week, one of our worship leaders has spoken as well. So today, Danny Shover, who's going to be a senior at Messiah College this year, is going to be speaking with me in a little bit. So I'll have her come up in a few moments. And this has been a really fun series for me, I think for all of us, not only to dive into the lyrics of these songs that are so rich and so meaningful, but also for us just to hear the hearts of our worship leaders and to hear how they process what worship is and how they connect with these songs and to hear their insights into scripture and things like that. So I'm really excited for this morning and for what Danny has to share for us. Before, I just want to kind of jump in and just say again, like music, as we've been talking about this entire month, is a really powerful thing. Music is something that really evokes a lot of emotion. It really sends us back to places. You know, I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you're driving down the road and you hear like that song come on, and it seems like all of a sudden you're like teleported back in time to a specific memory, a specific place. You almost like feel it, you can almost smell things, you remember who you were with, and all these different things, where it could be like all of a sudden you're back on that like random road trip in college with friends, where you had so much fun, there was that song blasting, and it just brings you back to all those memories, or maybe there was like that special dance that you had with someone, who maybe a week later broke your heart, and so you're all just sort of bawling whenever you hear that song, or maybe a song you hear again and you remember like a time where you experienced incredible encouragement in the midst of pain or hardship. And that song is reminds you of that encouragement. Or, you know, for a lot of the worship songs, I know for me, like they'll send me back to a place where I'm reminded by what God has done. Or maybe I was walking through something and we sang a song in church and then I hear it years later. It's like, wow, God, you really broke through for me in that moment. So what I want to do to start here is I want to share just three songs that send me back in time to some specific memories as well. So, Tyler, if you want to play the first song, that'd be great. Yes. All right. Oh, my heart is pumping. John Bon, he knows how to rock. Anyways, as soon as I hear that song, I am like teleported back in time to the Hampton Township pool. I'm headed into my eighth grade year. I am so skinny, my ribs are sticking out, and I'm wearing black Umbro shorts with a neon yellow line, because it was 1992, that goes around. And I was processing whether or not I should date this eighth grade girl who just asked me out. It was just a really weird experience for me because I didn't know how to talk to girls at that moment. So just running from them, I'm not sure why she wanted to date me. I said no, by the way, which is what we've tried to teach our girls, that you just let them down hard, all the time, all the time. So anyways, every time I hear that song, it's like I'm teleported back into that specific moment. It's just weird. I can remember what I was wearing. I remember borrowing my mom's money to buy nachos and things like that, the way we did. So anyways, second song. Yes. Wait for JT. Hey, hey. There he is. Bye, 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 bye. All right, you can, because we want to start having a dance party in a second, as we should. So this song takes me back to just after college. I had just started helping out with a youth ministry, and the youth pastor had left, and so it was a couple of us that were stepping in to help provide leadership. And I was like, we got to figure out a way to engage today's youth. We have to be relevant and edgy. And so what I did was, like, I was like, you know what? We're going to learn the dance to this song, and we will perform said song to the teens, and they will be like so engaged that things will be amazing. Everybody will get saved, and it's going to be awesome. So I picked four other guys, and we literally learned every single move to this song. I played the part of Justin Timberlake, as I'm sure you thought naturally, and I danced this song, and we got a letter from the senior pastor. But what this song reminds me of is, strangely enough, is it was around that time that I began to feel a call to ministry. And so every time I hear this song, I'm taken back to that moment and thankful that there was no video taken of that experience. And I've forgotten the dance, so I will not do it for you. But it reminds me of this calling into ministry. I'm not sure if there's anybody else on the planet that hears that song and associates it with something like that. But I'll roll with it. All right, the last song, if you could play. You guys know this one? So much acoustic guitar, so good.
What day is it?
All right, you can turn that one off. So this song by Lifehouse takes me back to my old townhouse, and it was the song that was playing the first time that I told Michelle that I loved her. And she was the first girl that I've ever and ever have said I love you in that way, too. Yeah, Pastor Chad's a romantic. And so anytime I hear that song, it was also our song at our wedding. I think of her, I think of those days whenever, you know, we were falling in love and just the relationship was growing. And so this song brings me back to that moment. It's always special. And I even get like a little bit like, oh, that's like this is a little emotional whenever I hear that song just because of what it means to me. So in many ways, these songs do this for us. And in a lot of ways, worship songs can do this as well. And Cheryl talked about this last week, where it brings us back to those moments, those things where we know where God has broken through, we know that things about God to be true, and the lyrics or the song may remind us of those things. And so we sang this song earlier, the one we're going to look at today called Yes and Amen, and this song really does that for me. As we sing about the promise of God, you know, all your promises are yes and amen. Faithful you are, God. And as I sing this song, it helps me to remember and be reminded that God is ever present, ever faithful in my life. And it reminds me that he's for me, that he's with me, that his presence is here, that his promises are indeed true. Even if I'm walking through a difficult time where it doesn't seem to be the case, but that he will never fail on those promises. And so these songs, these worship songs that we've been looking at the last 4 weeks, they can really bring us back to this incredible place where we remember who God is and what he's done for us. So this song was written by House Fires, and many people have performed it. Bethel Worship, Chris Tomlin, Danny Shover, several people have shared it with us. So I'm going to read the first verse. I'm going to look at that, and then I'm going to have Danny come on up. So the song starts off with, Father of kindness, you've poured out of grace. You've brought me out of darkness. You've filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. And so like a lot of the songs we've looked at this month, the verses that the lyrics of the verses really set a foundation or set us up for this truth that we then declare in the chorus that we'll be looking at later. So this song kind of begins with this outpouring of gratitude for all that God has done for us in our lives. So I'm going to start actually in the middle of this because I want to tie the beginning and end of the verse together. So in the middle it says, you've brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. So Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And I've noticed this time and time and time again where I feel anxiety or I feel turmoil or I feel kind of just uneasy in life and I begin to call out to God. I ask him for peace. I begin to call out on others. Help me pray. I need God's peace in this moment where it feels like things are swirling around. And then I see Christ. I begin to pray to him. I call out his name. I maybe even visualize Jesus Christ. And suddenly it's like there's this peace that I can't explain that comes over my life and over my heart and my spirit, and everything seems to calm down. Things haven't necessarily changed, but the peace of God is felt. And Cheryl talked about that experience that she had last week. So if you didn't hear that, go back and listen to it. But have you ever cried out to Jesus in the midst of darkness or in the midst of that confusion? And have you ever felt peace as you do? And I think there's just times where we call out to God. I can actually remember a specific moment where there was a song playing when this was happening, and I began to feel the peace. And anytime I hear that song or that album, it's like I go back and remember, God, you were faithful there. Please be faithful again. I know your peace can break through whatever it is. And this is what we're thanking him for in that line. So now I want to go back and I want to look at the beginning and end of this verse. It starts with, Father of kindness, you've poured out of grace, poured out grace. And later in that verse, then we see the author write, giver of mercy. And so it leads me to the question then, what is the difference between grace and mercy? They're similar, and oftentimes I think in church we use them interchangeably, but there is a really unique difference that I want to point out to us because I think it actually strengthens both of those words for us if we can understand the difference. So let me explain. Grace is the extension of the kindness or goodness or love of God, even though we don't deserve it. It's like we can't do anything to deserve this from God, and yet grace is this extension where he gives us this goodness, his kindness. Where he extends his kindness even though nothing is returned from us. And then mercy then is the deliverance from judgment or from punishment. So we're not getting punished for the sins like we deserve. So because of our sins, we're all sinners, right? We deserve punishment, but we don't, like, because those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, who've called on him, who call him our Savior, we're spared from that judgment. We're able to receive everlasting life. That is the mercy of God. Like, yes, you deserve this, but I'm going to step in instead. And so this is why the writers chose this Father of kindness. You've poured out grace. You've given me this kindness. You've given me this goodness. You've given me these things, even though I don't deserve it at all. So even though we don't deserve it, we've been saved by grace, by God's grace, through the kindness of Jesus Christ. So as we sing that line, I want you to recognize the power of what you're singing, the gratitude in what you're singing about the kindness of God. Like, this is overwhelming. This should mean so much to us. And I think so often we take this for granted, or we don't recognize the depth, the deep depth of God's mercy, of God's grace. So one thing I've seen just throughout the summer, as I've read and heard stories of Muslims who have come to Christ, was how overwhelmed they are by the grace and the mercy of God. For them, growing up in a Muslim culture, there was always a distance between them and God. Things were prescribed for them. But as they begin to read scripture, as they recognize the truth that Jesus is reaching out to them, pouring out his kindness to them, they're overwhelmed, and it's completely transformative. And I hope that we would understand this in the same way. So I don't want us to miss the power of what we're singing here. And then the end of the verse says, giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. And so mercy, again, is that freedom from the punishment that we deserve. And I want to illustrate both these concepts in one of my favorite stories in scripture. And it's about the woman caught in adultery. So let me just tell you the story real quick. So Jesus was returned from the Mount of Olives, and he wakes up the next morning, and he begins to teach. And as he teaches, there's a crowd that begins forming. And the religious leaders and the Pharisees, they see this, and they catch a woman in adultery. And I want you to get that. Like, they caught her in the act of adultery. Just think about what that means, right? It's not like they didn't just hear a rumor, or she didn't post it on Facebook like, hey, I'm an adulterer. And they're like, oh, we should. Like, they caught her in the act. Think about how embarrassing, the shame, the terror that she would be feeling in that moment by these righteous men finding her in the act of adultery, pulling her out in front of a crowd with this religious teacher, Jesus, who's teaching the law. And so they say, teacher, someone was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says, stone her. What do you say? And I read this account from a Muslim woman who's reading this story, reading the scripture for the very first time. And it struck me because I've read this several times throughout my life. But she said, as she began to read this story, she began to be overwhelmed with fear for this woman, because she knew what should happen in her culture and the culture of the days. She knew the punishment that this woman should deserve. So as she's reading the story, she's thinking, the story is going to go where this poor woman is stoned. She's killed for her deed, for what she's done. I can't believe I'm reading this. And she's beginning to shake in terror as she's reading this story. But then she keeps going. And she sees Jesus. And he says, all right, let the first one who's never sinned throw the first stone. He stooped down and wrote in the dust. And then when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And so he turns to the woman and says, where are your accusers? She says, there are none. He says to her, go and sin no more. This woman, as she was reading this story for the first time, was terrified about what would happen. And then all of a sudden, Jesus breaks in the story. And she's like, who is this Jesus who's standing up for a woman in that culture, who's standing up for an adulterer in that culture and providing her freedom and extending her mercy and extending her goodness and kindness and grace in the midst of this thing, though she didn't do anything to deserve his grace, she didn't do anything to deserve his mercy, he extends it to her. It's a powerful, powerful illustration. And then she goes off. He says to her, go and sin no more. Change your life. It's a powerful story, and I just think that captures those two lines of this song powerfully. And I just pray that we would just, as we sing those, it wouldn't just be words on a page. It wouldn't just be words on a screen, but it would grab a hold of our hearts and recognize the depth of what Jesus has done for us. And we're singing that out of a deep place of gratitude and thanksgiving. And then out of this, the song says, Lord, I can't help but sing. Like, you've overwhelmed me with your grace. You've overwhelmed me with peace. You've overwhelmed me with mercy. How am I not supposed to sing? Like, how am I supposed to just do this when I've been saved from a punishment that I deserve? When I've been extended kindness, when I've done nothing to deserve that? When I've been given peace in the midst of all of my struggles. This should just shake us to the core. These are not just words. This is the gospel message of Jesus Christ that we are singing in gratitude. And it says, Lord, I can't help but sing now. It reminds me of musical, and I wish musicals were like how we live life, like where we just get pumped about stuff, and all of a sudden there's a big group of people spinning chairs in unison and singing in perfect harmony. I feel like life should reflect that more often, and I feel like this song captures that desire of all of our hearts to live as a musical. But this is what we're talking about in this moment here as we sing these lines, like, good night, this is huge. It's huge. So I'm going to invite Dani up so I don't take all of her time, and she's going to talk a little bit about verse 2.
Good morning. All right, let me get situated here. So when Chad just first shared this sermon series with me, I just remember being really excited, and I was like pumped to get up and share. And then as the time kind of got closer, I was like, oh my gosh, but really, I love worship. It's really been the main way that I connect with God through the years, and it's just like an amazing way that I feel like we can communicate with God and talk with him. So this song, Yes and Amen, that I chose has always really been a source of encouragement to me, but it's also been kind of a challenge. So just to give you a little bit of background in my life on why I say that, I've never really experienced like a tremendous low in my life. Like, I've never had a fatal illness. I've never really been in like an abusive relationship. I always grew up in a home where I knew I had parents who loved me. You know, I've never found myself in extreme poverty or anything like that, which is obviously a good thing. But a lot of times then in my life, I feel like I tend to live in fear that in the back of my mind, one day something's going to go really wrong and I won't know how to handle that. You know, like, will I find myself then with a permanent illness that I can't escape, or will I be in extreme financial trouble, or, you know, whenever I get married, is that not going to be all I hoped it'd be, or is it going to be a lot harder than I thought it would be, or what if, you know, when I graduate college, all my friends move away, and then I can't find a job, and I'm alone, and, you know, the fear just kind of just goes on and on. So for this reason, I tend to be comfortable in my day-to-day life, and I don't like a lot of change, and I get nervous for any type of big change in my life. Like, I remember when I was starting college, you know, it's like a good thing and it's exciting, and I remember all my friends were like pumped to go off like 4 hours away, or like my sister went to Alabama and she was so excited, and I was going to Messiah, and I've lived around here my whole life. I was commuting and I was like terrified, and it kind of like doesn't make sense because there's, you know, going to be like tons of familiar people in my life. I know people that work at Messiah. I knew other students there. But I kind of found myself like in this mess of fear walking into that thinking, okay, well, what if this is the thing where like that starts the chain reaction of like bad things in my life. So things, like I said, like good things, even like looking forward to graduating college or getting married, getting a full-time job, a lot of times I find myself like struggling to be confident going through those things as the voices of insecurity tell me I'm either not going to be good enough to handle them or that I won't know what to do. So I struggle to give God control of my life a lot of times because I think that I just need to control everything so that nothing bad happens. So whenever I let fear rule my life, it often overshadows the promises then that God has made to me. So thinking about this song, like I said, it always kind of left me a bit unsure. You know, this song is one of just confidence and declaring who God is and his faithfulness, and I always sang it kind of scared. Like, I thought it was about blindly trusting God in the here and now because of ways that I've seen him be faithful in my life, and then that, you know, rest and confidence were to flow out of that after I learned how to trust. And so this might be true, but it always kind of left me thinking, well, what if God doesn't pull through this time? Like, what if I sing this confidently and then he kind of just lets me go and things don't work out? Like, how am I supposed to be so confident when I feel so unsure? So I realize now that trust in and of itself is very unsure. Trusting means that you let go of control and know that God's going to have your back. This song is about singing and proclaiming that he'll be faithful and he'll keep his promises even when I don't feel like trusting. You know, even when I'm not at the point where I feel like I can trust, or even when it makes me uncomfortable, even when things go wrong, even when things don't play out maybe like my plans would have had them. And then the song continues then in verse 2. And so as we learned in verse 1, it's really about getting to know who God is, who his character is, and instead of trying to really just like understand everything, just knowing him. And so once I know that, I find that my fear that he won't keep his promises is comforted. And so this morning I'm talking about, like, in my life it's fear, but for you, maybe it's lust, or maybe it's insecurity, maybe it's doubt or shame or sickness, sadness, loneliness. Maybe you're dealing with extreme financial troubles. So, you know, in that first verse, now that we know that he's comforted, that thing that kind of keeps us in bondage or hinders us from believing the promises that God's made to us, the second verse then focuses on breaking the chains of that fear, that doubt, that loneliness, sadness. So it starts out, it says, "Beautiful Savior, you've brought me near." Now Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." So it's a reminder to us that no matter what we struggle with, our God is drawing him to himself for comfort. So have you ever felt like maybe you heard God's plan so clearly, but for some reason you're not walking in that? You know, why do you think that is? Is there something in the way? Well, this morning, fear not. Your God is drawing you near to him for comfort. The verse goes on then to say, "You pulled me from the ashes. You have broken every curse." So whatever that thing is that is hindering you from his promises, know that God is pulling you out of the ashes of that. You know, this verse reminds us that God's already broken our chains, and it reminds us to stay close to him even when the waves of that fear, that doubt, whatever, are just roaring. So then it goes on, says, "Blessed Redeemer, you've set this captive free." So again, whatever that thing is for you, God was able to pull you out of the ashes of that, and he's already broken the curse. In Galatians 3:13-14, it says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." So he redeems us, he sets us free from fear, from doubt, from loneliness, from anger, from poor self-image, whatever, so that we can worship him. See, it's out of this place of redemption that we then say that we can't help but sing that he's faithful because of the power that now lives in us. So for me, instead of living in fear, I can now confidently sing that my God is faithful, and forever he will be, because the curse of my fear is broken. The power of his Holy Spirit now lives in me. You know, like Michelle talked about the other week, there's so much power in the name of Jesus. And when Jesus broke that curse for us, he put his power in us through the Holy Spirit, so that we can now overcome fear. Now we can overcome loneliness and sadness and anger. We can overcome sickness and pain and brokenness. You know, that is a promise from our God. the promise of the Spirit. And so often Christians, they forget that they have this power living in them, and then they just stay living in bondage. So this morning, I really just want us to grasp a hold of that and live in the freedom that we have instead of living in that bondage. So Chad's going to come up now and talk a little bit about the chorus here.
So I just want to touch real quick before Danny comes up and finishes talking about the promise of God. I just want to explain this yes and amen. We sing that over and over again. All your promises are yes and amen. So where does that come from? What's coming from 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22. And this is the passage that Lucy read for us earlier. So let me read this again. Paul says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and has given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So I just want to quickly touch on this. So the context here of this verse, as Paul is writing, is that he was originally going to stay in Corinth for an extended period of time, but there's this change of plans, and so rather than staying for that one long period of time, he has to come back. He's going to come back for a second time. So because of this kind of change in plans, some of his opponents say, "Paul, you're vacillating between yes and no. Like, you said you were going to do this, now you're doing something different." And so they're accusing him. They're saying, "Paul, you're living by the flesh. You're not living according to the Spirit." And so Paul responds to them in this passage. He's saying, no, my word was yes. My word was yes because it was in accordance with the will of God. So he's showing them that despite the change, it was actually in line with the Holy Spirit. It was actually in line with the word of God. And he's showing them that because of the change, it's actually better for them. It's actually better that now there's two visits. There's a second visit, a second act of grace, if it were. So they're benefiting twice by this new opportunity that he has to come back again. So Paul then is trying to show them that this whole thing is an example of God's demonstration of love, of faithfulness in Christ Jesus, that while it looks differently than what they had expected, Christ God is faithful, just like Paul was faithful, returned to them. And so he begins to enter into, after he kind of defends himself, he enters into this passage there in verse 20, where he begins to put the focus then on God and the promises of God and who they are. And so he's showing them, in other words, that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all of these promises, that all the prophecies in the Old Testament, the scriptures that you've read, that you know, the promises, the fulfillment is Jesus Christ. He is the one that they find their yes in. And so this is why it's important for us to read scripture, and this is what Paul's encouraging us with, to read scripture Christocentrically, which is a big word, but essentially it means that we read scripture with Christ at the center of everything. That as we read scripture, we're looking to how it points to Jesus Christ, because we'll find this throughout. So in other words, when you read the creation account, you hear about how God promises that he will send a son to crush the serpent who tempted Eve. Who is that serpent crusher, that son that will come? It's pointing us right from the beginning that there will be a day when Jesus Christ comes. You can read the story of Joseph and you see how Joseph was used to redeem the nation of Israel and provide salvation for him. It shows us what the bigger picture of what Jesus is going to do as he comes to earth, as he brings salvation and restoration and redeems all of us. And so we begin to see that throughout all these stories throughout the Old Testament, how all the promises of God, all of this is really pointing us to Jesus Christ. And so while Danny's going to look at some of those specific promises in a few moments, I want us to see just this powerful truth that all the promises of God find their yes, their fulfillment. They've been fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. The climax of the world history is Jesus coming, because it's showing that God initiated his love and wants us to experience this closeness, the relationship with him. And so he sends his son to walk on the earth and be close to us. It's showing God's faithfulness, his love for his people. And so when we know this, we understand how incredible this is, then we respond, yes, all your promises are yes in Christ. So we respond with amen, which just means so be it, or to confirm. So Jews would regularly declare amen in response to prayers or statements with which they agreed. So as we talk about all the promises, say our yes, we respond by saying, yes, I agree. I am agreeing with that statement. So Jesus is the one who is the center of our faith. He is the yes. He is the fulfillment of all of these promises. And then one last note, just because we've talked about this a lot throughout the series, is that notice at the end of verse 20, it says, we utter our amen, our so be it, our agreement to God for his glory, not for our own. And so the worship all comes back to that, that it's about him, it's not about us. And so I'm going to invite Danny to come on up and finish this song out and share with us some more.
So I just want to kind of point out one thing about the chorus as well, that the first chorus, you know, we sing out of this place of knowing who God is. It's very worshipful. It's very kind of like comforting. But then the second chorus, you know, we sing, it's different, and we sing because we now can't help but sing, because we're unashamed and unafraid to cry out to Jesus, because you've watched him break you of things, you know, and now you're able to sing over that fear because of the power that you have through his Holy Spirit that was promised to you. So it's always been, yes, that the curse of our bondage, our insecurity, our financial problems, sickness, pain, guilt has been broken through Jesus Christ. In the second chorus, it's us choosing to say amen. You know, it's here that we truly start to believe that God's faithful. You know, I agree that my fear is gone, and in place of it, I can live in confidence because of his faithfulness. See, it feels so good just to proclaim who God is, and that second chorus really proclaims it with us as, you know, the music kind of escalates and we sing like up and you know, we're just confidently declaring that together. So this summer kind of took me on a new journey as I prepared for this morning and really just dug in deep and looked at this song. So, you know, I realized that, as I talked about before, this song isn't about really understanding who God is and then praising him out of fear so that he won't make our lives bad. You know, it's not saying that when we sing those praises that we'll be able to rest in his promises, like only when we're able to sing them. No, it's actually about knowing God. And when I say knowing God, I don't mean that we just have all this knowledge of him in our heads, but I mean that we know who he is. You know, we take the time to spend with him just like we would spend time with another friend or someone else that we try and get to know. So again, this song is really about letting go of our control and letting go of trying to just store information about God in our brains. And instead, it's about praising him simply because we know the character of our friend who is God. You know, so sit with him and get to know him. You know, what does he look like when you're with him? What does he say to you? How does your mindset change when you're with him? How is this friend-like God different from the God that's only studied about or read about in the Bible? Psalm 46, 10 to 11 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. See, God is this strong place to feel safe whenever we feel weak or feel weary. You know, it's about knowing God this way that then beckons my praise. Because when we truly know, when we truly believe who God is, that's when fear leaves, doubt leaves, and lust loses its grip. The voices of insecurity fall silent. See, God's the number one voice that we hear speaking because we let him, because we want to hear him over the fear, over all those other things. See, 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. When we sit with God and get to know his perfect love, we'll find that, you know, we no longer fear the future. Our financial problems begin to seem smaller, and all we have to do is sit with him, be still. Set aside that anxiety, the loneliness, depression as best as we humanly can. And then suddenly we find that we're able to say amen to his promises instead of testing them or wondering if they'll come to fruition. So it's kind of out of this place of praise, out of this place of surrender, that we then sing the bridge. And the bridge, it's so simple. It's my favorite part of the song. It's just two lines. It says, I will rest in your promises. My confidence is in your faithfulness. See, the bridge, it's really just the key point of the song. It's a declaration of how our lives are going to be different now that we proclaim his faithfulness. So instead of living in that bondage, it's us choosing to rest. And we find confidence again in who God is and not how our current situation is playing out. And, you know, the music, it even builds again with just the excitement of our souls as it proclaims to Satan that his fear is not going to win this time. You know, his temptation, the things that he tries to get us down with, are losing its grip as we proclaim that we're resting in him. And, you know, when we sing this bridge, the language, it's very purposeful. It's not like, I have to rest in your promises. Like, it says, I will rest, because it's us choosing to rest, us choosing to rest confidently in our God, who, as the song says, is peace, he's mercy, he's light, he's a rescuer, he's beautiful, he's kind, he's near, he's someone who chases us. You know, he's a chain breaker, he's grace, he's a redeemer, he's freedom, he's help, he's our king. So we choose to rest and be confident in who he is as we let go of control. So, you know, I know now that I'm never going to get to the point where I'm sure that everything's going to be okay in the future, because I can't see the future. Sorry. So instead of just trying to control everything, you know, I simply rest in God, who's faithful. You know, I know who he says he is, and I don't have to do anything. I don't have to keep striving. Just rest in him. You know, and let my confidence flow from the fact that he's faithful to me. Now, it's important here to, like, note that this is a lot easier said than done. You know, I know that, and it's been a huge process for me to get to the point where I can say, God, I surrender to you. You know, I know that your plans are better than mine, and I trust you. And I'm not going to say, you know, that fear never gets a hold of me anymore. There's still significant seasons in my life where I find myself in a mess of fear and just trying to control everything again. But that's when I have the choice. You know, am I going to let fear consume me and the need to control just run my life again? Or am I going to run to God? Am I going to find rest in him? You know, I remind myself then of the second verse of this song that says, my God has already broken my chains of fear. You know, so I don't need to be living like this anymore. My God has come near to me, and he's speaking his promises to me over and over again, and all I have to do is come to him. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So let's choose to let him do that this morning. You know, so as of now, looking into the next year, there's a lot of changes that are coming. And it's, you know, some days hard for me not to get bogged down by all the fear. So I'm graduating college and I'm getting married, which, like, again, like I said, all these are good, exciting things. You know, I'll be moving out of my parents' house finally, which is a good thing. And I'll be getting a job. And so all this is happening within the span of like a month or two. So that's kind of, you know, significant life change for someone who doesn't like change. But, you know, although sometimes and a lot of times this does like paralyze me with fear, I'm trying my best to run to God. You know, to let him give me rest in those times where I feel lack of confidence or when I feel scared. So this song now leaves me knowing, you know, that I don't need to know the plans for the future because I'm confident in his promise to me that says that I won't be alone, that my marriage will be healthy and prosper, that he will supply my confidence. You know, God will give me rest. He won't let me be alone in all the changes to come. So worship team, you can come on up. This morning, I just want to ask you, you know, what are those promises that God has made to you? You know, do you know what they are? Maybe some of you came in this morning, and, you know, you just are thinking, I don't even know what promises God's made to me, and I don't know if I'm walking in them. I'm not sure. Well, God's word, he gives us so many promises. Just to name a few of them quickly here for you. He promises to give strength to the weary. He promises that he fights for you, that he's near to you. He renews your strength. He upholds you with his righteous hand. He helps you. His unfailing love for you will not be shaken. He promises that no weapon forged against you will prevail. He sets the oppressed free and breaks every yoke. He gives wisdom, and he will forgive you for your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He promises hope and a future. He promises to make you strong and courageous, for he will be with you. He will save you from your enemies. He will deliver you from your troubles. And he makes all things work together for the good of those who love him. So are you walking in those promises, or is there something in the way for you this morning? You know, something in the way of you just believing that those things are true. You know, what do you need to get rid of in order to accept those promises this morning? I want you to know that Christ shed his blood for you so that he could pour out grace to you in times of doubt, like Chad talked about earlier. So what needs covered this morning in his blood? You know, what's the one thing that you think he can't cover? Would you watch him do that for you this morning? Let him set you free from that thing that holds you back from believing that he'll fulfill his promises. You know, I don't know what you came in with this morning. Maybe you just were rearing to go this morning. You're super excited about what God's been doing in your life. And maybe it just took all you had to get out of bed to come here this morning. And my prayer for you this morning is that instead of living in that bondage, that you would just come to him and be able to rest confidently and proclaim, amen. I know who you are, Lord, and I believe that you can do it. And let your praise follow that. So this morning, as we walk into response time, we're going to do something a little bit different. I just want you to kind of get in a place where you feel comfortable with God, and I'm going to walk you through kind of a listening prayer this morning. So it might be a little uncomfortable for some of you, or maybe some of you that's like the main way that you meet with God, and maybe got excited when I said that. But I just want to challenge you to just put yourself in a place of rest as we walk through this morning. And then after that, we'll sing yes and amen again, and there will be a prayer people around the sides. But let's walk through this morning. God, I thank you so much that you're faithful. God, that you are who you say you are. God, would you meet us this morning, no matter where we came from, no matter what we came into this place with. God, we thank you that you're true, you're wholesome, you're good. So I just want you this morning to just picture yourself in a place where you feel comfortable, maybe peaceful, maybe it's a beach or by a lake somewhere. You know, maybe it's in this room if you've met with God several times before here, this is a comfortable space for you. Just begin to picture, what does that look like? And as you're in that place, just picture Jesus walking in and sitting down before you. As he walks in and as he sits before you, what does he look like? Maybe how does the mood of the area change when he walks in? And suddenly he looks at you and he says, my child, why are you weary? How does that make you feel when he says that? Maybe it makes you feel really known, because maybe you've been carrying this for a while and no one else has noticed. Maybe it makes you feel seen or a little bit anxious because you thought you were hiding it well. Do you say anything back to him after he says that, or you just kind of sit there? And then he asks you, he says, would you give me that thing that's making you feel weary? What is that thing that comes to mind for you? And so even though maybe all of you is screaming that you don't want to give it up or it's uncomfortable, suddenly you just begin to pull just things from within you that maybe just they're heavy, almost look like bricks or, you know, things that weigh you down. What is the thing that's written on that that you're giving to God this morning? And how do you give it to you, to him? Are you unsure? Maybe you throw it at him as hard as you can. Maybe you scoot it over reluctantly. What does that look like? And how do you feel once it's finally in his hands? Look at him, and all of a sudden those things aren't there anymore. They're not in front of him. And at first you kind of start to panic, wondering where they are, maybe, or maybe you're just so happy that you never have to see them again. But he tells you, fear not, that he took them away for good. And then he gives you something in place of them, and you look at it, it's just a beautiful, beautiful package. And on it are just written his promises to you. What does that say? How does that make you feel when you receive that? As you take it from him, it just kind of seeps into your entire being. It's part of who you are. And then you just sit with Jesus. How has the mood of that place now changed since you received that? Is it different? Is it the same? And just sit with him, just rest with him this morning. God, I thank you that you're a God who takes time to just sit with us. You don't have an agenda, you don't have a certain schedule. God, you just meet us where we're at. So Lord, as we leave from this place this morning, as we finish out this service here, God, would you just continue just to be with us? Speak your promises to us again and again, God. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your love that's poured out on us. In your name I pray, amen. And we're going to sing yes and amen again. And if you feel like you need to stay seated and just continue meeting with God, feel free to do that. But if not, would you stand as we sing this together? I just encourage you as we sing, if you need prayer, there's going to be prayer people around the sides. Just sing it in a new light of what we talked about this morning. You know, allow God to continue to break those chains. You know, those things that hinder you from believing his promises. And my prayer for you is that you would leave today at rest and confident that his promises to you will come to fruition. So let's just proclaim him together this morning.